Are we looking for less daunting fights in the UFC? Is that what we're looking to do? That's just all bullshit. The guy has four fights in the UFC. Do you value him because it's the last fight of his contract? Does everybody know he just lost his last fight? I don't know if they knew that. How are you going to devalue him? What if he loses with somebody else we match him up with? Would he be devalued? Does Khamzat Chimaev devalue him? You know how massive that fight value is about being in massive fights that people care about. Fights that when you make a fight and you announce it, there's this buzz about the fight and everybody's going crazy. Do you think that Nate Diaz versus Khamzat Chimaev is not that fight? Here's the moral of the story. All these people are f***ing morons and have no idea what they're talking about. I actually run the biggest f***ing combat sports business on planet f***ing Earth. So shut the f*** up and let me do my job. And with that, welcome to the Stoppage Show with News of Days. Usually given just enough time, but sometimes not enough. If this is your first time stopping by, we thank you. And get ready for something you won't find anywhere else. I'm John Franklin, and I'm joined by the God, Father of Fight Night Picks, Craig Allen. Craig, how are you?
John Franklin, I'm well. Listen, it feels like forever since we've done one of these shows. You used to do them outside in a bunker in Kandahar. Today, they let you come inside to film. You're a lot darker than I am. My light is on full bore. The one thing that I will say, I threw it out there in this week's pick and preview show. I said that to me, personally, I feel like Michael Chandler, Justin Gaethje are A-side stars. And everybody was there to drag me down. They're not A-side stars. Usman, Covington, those guys aren't A-sides. McGregor is. Francis Ngannou is. John Jones. Those are A-side stars. Hey, everybody out there on the internet. UFC just put two videos out. One 3 hours ago. UFC 268. Nam Yunus versus Zhang. Rise to the, I'm assuming, title. Then they put one out 2 hours ago. UFC 268 fully loaded. Nam Yunus versus Zhang 2, 14,000 views. 2 hours ago, Chandler Gaethje, 43,000 views. Press conference highlights, 98,000. And I can go on and on and on. And then they move that fight to start the pay-per-view. That's the curtain jerker. Those guys are A-side stars. I had to get that one off my chest.
There's nothing better than when you have receipts. When you have receipts, you're better than anybody at sticking those receipts where the sun don't shine on your doubters. On this episode of Early Stoppage, we talk boogeymen, goats, and pit bulls. But Craig, we begin with Glover Teixeira. Craig, it may be in what may be the longest journey a fighter has ever made to championship gold. Teixeira, having overcome immigration issues early and championship losses late, has finally had his day. Teixeira defeated Jan Blachowicz by rear naked choke in the second round. Craig, to me, this moment has big Misha Tate vibes. So the question is, do you think Glover's championship win is the beginning of the race or the finish line?
Well, and it's going to be something I know we're going to touch on later on in the show. To me, it all depends on who's that next opponent. Because if they kind of handpick somebody, like if it was an Israel Adesanya, well, we saw how he dealt with taking on a bigger fighter his last time out. And Jan isn't a one-dimensional guy. But, you know, you look at the way that Adesanya performed moving up a weight class, and it didn't go all that well. So if Glover had maybe a blown-up guy, a guy that didn't belong at light heavyweight, maybe didn't have a lot of experience but a big hype train, he could probably build up a nice little resume as the champion. He's already built up a giant resume from UFC 172 when he first took on John Jones to UFC 267 beating Jan Blachowicz for the title. It's been a pretty friggin' wild ride. And all in between, and I know it's something that people have talked about, and they're going to talk about it this week, Teixeira MMA and fitness, kind of a stable of fighters out of there. Alex Pereira coming up this week, he trains there. So a lot of big things going on for Glover. I think the championship right now, the way that it looks to me, it's kind of like the cherry on top. I don't see many easy fights, you know, even though light heavyweight is in a bad spot. Like, I mean, you look at some of the fighters that are ranked and you sit there and you kind of scratch your head a little bit. But to me, I feel like, yeah, it's kind of the end of the line. Could he beat Jiří Procházka? There's a possibility. But there's not a lot of easy fights out there. But again, credit where it's due. Giant win over Jan Blachowicz. Like, that's huge. I didn't see that one coming.
I didn't see it coming either. And I think I'm going to answer the question first and then we'll get into all the particulars of it. I think it's the finish line. I think that now that doesn't mean that he's not going to defend the belt at all. Because like you said, light heavyweight is thin enough right now that he could string together some wins on guys having off nights or him coming in with a good game plan. He certainly, you know, built a resume on getting wins when he just came in with a better, more committed game plan than the guy he was fighting. He's done that numerous times and came out with victories. So, yeah, he could defend his title, but I think nothing is going to be better than this, because anybody that he would beat that would potentially surpass this victory in his, you know, like if you beat John Jones, he's not going to beat John Jones. So my point is that anybody whose value is higher than actually winning the title the first time, he probably can't beat. So, yeah, I think this is the finish line for him. And I think that, I think he's gonna try and run it out there, but he'll never top this night.
Well, I mean, listen, like the Franklin Fantasy League, let's move the chains and continue to watch Craig Allen lose. John, arguably the best pound for pound fighter. I don't, it's tough to argue. He's number one now in the world. It's Kamaru Usman. He's back. He's fighting Colby Covington on Saturday night, and he seems pretty locked in. However, there's been some Adesanya talk. There's always the GSP comparisons. He might have even thrown himself out there to fight Canelo or make those conversations. That stuff's just silly. But really, there's been a little bit of talk about retirement. I've even seen that one today. So the question is there a chance that Usman is maybe sleeping on Colby Covington? And I'm going to go one further. I've seen the comments section kind of trend that way, like tonight, as we're taping Thursday night, late Thursday night. That's the way that people are talking about this one.
You know, I compare, I think that the first day that Kamaru Usman decided that he hated Colby Covington, it might as well have been the last day of his life, because he's going to hate him forever. That's never going to change. There's nothing that Colby Covington is ever going to do to make Kamaru Usman like him. So in terms of sleeping on him, I compare these two very favorably to John Jones and Daniel Cormier. Doesn't matter what happens, they're always going to find a way to take a shot at each other. They're always going to dislike each other. You know, and the irony of John Jones and Daniel Cormier is there probably have never been two people that need each other more actually in their lives. Like John Jones, if somehow he did like a podcast with Cormier, the podcast would be massive. If John Jones took some life advice from Daniel Cormier, he'd probably be a better man. I mean, they could benefit from each other in their lives. It'll never happen. Same thing here. I don't think that he's sleeping on him. In terms of, he may be a little overconfident. So if that's sleeping on him, yeah. I think that he thinks he bodied him up the first time, and he did. But I do think that Covington was a little bit more in that fight than people like to remember. And although Usman was the clear victor, I think that, you know, I mean, he was alive. It was a live fight for a minute, so.
I mean, if it ended before the knockout, I had it 3-2 for Covington. And I've said that over and over and over again. Like, I really did think that Covington was on his way to winning that belt, unifying it, whatever. Obviously, he had the interim belt way back when, in like a Tony Ferguson type of deal. But yeah, I mean, I look at it like this. I mean, Colby Covington's one of those guys. Do I ditch the persona? No, I don't. He's like one of those guys that when you're playing hockey, and I just got back from losing a 13-5 game. So bear with me for a second. He's like one of those guys that just sits in front of the net and he hits you and he hits you and he hits you. And he, you know, he puts a stick down right around your pants and he tries to pull down, just tries to throw you off your game, do whatever he can. As John Franklin missed the fact that I actually brought in a hockey stick as a prop. You missed
it.
Didn't, you liar. You don't care about my hockey analogies. I can make them baseball if you want. I'm not so good with the basketball. That's why we have Matt Allen on the show. But when I look at all of this, I think, you know, there's obviously so much talking and jawing. The weird thing that I found this week, and I've kind of bought into some of the, not necessarily hype, but I have watched a lot of the promo for this. I've watched the countdowns. I've watched the embeddeds. I've been following along on social media. I'm really looking forward to the event. And obviously, I have a bit of a stake in it too. But when I look into it, Colby Covington saying, I don't respect Usman. You know, he makes an excuse about the jaw. That was a Photoshop picture. The Nevada State Athletic Commission says, that is a lie. No, you actually did break your jaw. Like, there's so many things that have come out this week that I think it's weird to kind of dig your heels in on that front. And then on the opposite side, Kamaru Usman continues to say, I respect Colby as a competitor. Might not agree with what he says, but he's a darn good fighter. So it's just weird to see that narrative. And finally, you know, about Usman sleeping on the fight, you don't still commit your life to move from Florida to Colorado to train in a smaller gym with Trevor Whitman one-on-one. So I don't really see him sleeping per se. I think the training's there. I think he's coming off, yeah, a little overconfident. You know, I got to take these money fights, so on and so forth. Some of the things that he said with Max Kellerman there this week, but that's all part of promoting yourself. And he's one of those guys that's trying to set himself up well for retirement. And if you're maybe not the most liked guy, a lot of MMA fans like to hear that kind of talk out of somebody. So maybe he's just trying to lean into it a little bit more this week.
I will say this as a sidebar. In the interview they did today, the press conference, I've never seen two guys dress worse in my life. Covington had the blue, the animal print. I mean, it's almost like someone has to decide who's going to be the flamboyant one here, and someone has to decide who's going to be like the button-down business guy. I think Kamara needs to stick with the button-down business guy. All right, Craig, we move on. Craig, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Khamzat Chimaev is back, and it doesn't look like he has missed a beat or lost a step. He showed up fit and ready. Scale malfunction truthers might say otherwise, and put on a serious beating of Li Jingliang. Yes, the Li Jingliang who went the distance with Magny and finished Ponzinibbio. So, are you back on the Chimaev hype train? Did you ever get off?
It's like that old Ace Frehley song, John. And I, like, inside baseball, I will actually play New York Groove, and it gets me psyched up. Like, it just, I could listen to that song any day, any time of day, and it gets me going. I'm not joking about that. But, yeah, I'm back in the New York Groove. Like, this guy deserves those big fights. I don't know, you know, Leon Edwards, Masvidal, whatever. But there's big fights out there. I don't necessarily know if I want to see him fight Nate Diaz, to be completely truthful with you. I just feel like I don't need to see that because he's just going to go out there and absolutely drub him. He's going to take him down, maybe submits him. He's going to land some elbows. He's going to cut him up. Like, something bad could happen. I don't want to see Nate Diaz lose fights. So selfishly, I don't want that fight. But again, there's so many good fighters out there. I mean, why not do it today? Michelle Pereira got a fight booked with Muslim Salikov. Like, that's where the welterweight division is right now. It's a really exciting time. But if you can beat a tough guy like Li Jingliang, you might. What can you say negatively about him? Okay, fishhook Jake Matthews that one time, but that was a fight of the night. His takedown defense was 59% going into his fight against Chimaev. So yeah, that's not that great. But he's got like 6 performance bonuses in his UFC career. Remember the spinning kick that he had to the body of David Zavada where he finished him. The Ponzinibbio finish. Like, Li Jingliang's a legit fighter. So he's somebody that doesn't really get talked up, I guess, with kind of like the upper echelon. But that's a giant win. So yeah, I'm all in on the hype train again. I mean, who knows where his cardio's at for a full 15 minutes. I guess we'll have to find out. But for me, yeah, I'm back on the train.
You know, I'm there with you, too. I mean, we had talked about Shumaev. I mean, Shumaev, it seemed like he was on the rundown every week for, like, a couple of months. And, I mean, listen, in all fairness, he does well. I mean, the videos that we thumbnail him in or the videos that he's like, the title of, they do well. So, I mean, the guy's a star. Booking him with Nate Diaz is to make him bigger, is to make him a superstar. So, you know, and we're going to get to this guy next. And we're going to get to a conversation about the two of them even later. But I think that it's weird because you reach a point where someone's we talk about your name and your game, right? Your game is bigger than your name, or your name is bigger than your game. Like right now, Frank Mir's name is bigger than his game because he's washed up. Chimaev is at that point where his skills are much better and bigger than his name, much like Khabib Nurmagomedov, and they kind of had to bring Khabib along, and you know, if not for a dance partner in Connor, he probably doesn't end up being a big draw. So that's where I think they're at with these next two guys, and we'll move on to Makhachev, and you can go ahead. But that's where they're at.
Well, I mean, let's do it. So after last weekend, same deal. I mean, it looks like Islam Makhachev's really here, and he's really here to stay. You look at it, I mean, he's on the main card. It kind of looks like the writing's on the wall that he's on his way to a title shot. So the real question here, does he need maybe one more win to get the title shot? Because he had a short notice, Dan Hooker. And if you think about it, matchups-wise, it was fairly favorable to him. And really, if we kind of play that forward, you know, and I hate to kind of spoil the next party, but where does that win that Makhachev had last weekend leave him kind of in the mix with Gaethje Chandler that's coming up this weekend?
Well, you know, we're reaching a point now where this conversation gets interesting because, you know, I always kind of, as fighters are moving their way up, I'll always use the diving analogy for the Olympics, right? Everybody only cares about the diving once every 4 years. But when you're watching it, you realize, okay, all these guys can dive. And the thing that separates them is the degree of difficulty. And I think now we're starting to see that they're throwing Makhachev some degree of difficulty fights, and they're saying, okay, nobody ever just takes this guy out, right? So they put Hooker in there, right? Because Hooker got in there with Poirier, and they had a battle, and Hooker's been in there with some battles. And then Makhachev just wipes him out. And it's like, okay, what's next? Who else can we put him in there with that doesn't get drubbed by people traditionally? That would be Gaethje Chandler. Now, do you think that's a huge leap? Because this kid's not – is this kid ranked yet? I know Chimaev just got ranked at 170.
Yeah, Makhachev's ranked. He's right up there. He's right up there in the mix. And the only guy that doesn't have a fight that's booked ahead of him is Beneil Dariush, which stylistically to me feels like a really fun fight. Like, that's the fight that I want to see. Matt kind of said on the show, because we did a fight companion for it, and we'll have one this weekend too for UFC 268, but he kind of said that he wants to see the fight against Dos Anjos, because tit for tat and style for style, those guys match up really well. But again, that fight just seems to be cursed. So for me, I want that Dariush fight, because you get a little bit on the feet, you get a little bit on the wrestling. Both guys are good grapplers. I think that makes for a great fight and a well-rounded fight. And maybe Dariush can kind of challenge Makhachev on the feet. You saw him do it with every fighter that he faced up until, I got to kind of word this the right way, but the last couple of wins that he had before he took on Tony Ferguson, he was beating guys on the feet. Like, look at the fight he had against Jakar Close, if you want an example of that. So for me, I want to see Makhachev and Dariush, but it does set things up really well that these guys fight a week apart. So maybe you get the winner of Gaethje Chandler. And then you kind of hope, okay, well, if that fight was really exciting, explosive, then maybe we can parlay that guy into a title shot. And, you know, heavens to Betsy, as they say, and Makhachev wins, he gains a little bit of that shine from Gaethje and Chandler. I guess the winner.
An idea, and if you're out there and you're looking to get some content, I'm going to give you guys an idea that I had a long time ago that Craig and I may get back to at some point. But if you can go ahead and scoop this idea up and do something with it, God bless you. Let's see you try. And basically, that idea was the blueprint, right? And we talk about what is the blueprint for someone getting to that title shot. So here's what I'm going to do with you. We're going to talk real quick about Khabib Nurmagomedov. And so basically, his path was Abel Trujillo, Pat Healy. At this point, we're still like a prelim guy, right? Then he unanimous decision over Dos Anjos. Then he fights, scratch your head, Daryl Horcher. But then it's Michael Johnson, Edson Barbosa, Al Iaquinta, and then he's fighting Connor. Now, he's supposed to fight Tony a couple times. He was supposed to fight Max Holloway a couple of times. But, you know, I think that if you're looking to match Makhachev up, you're looking for your Michael Johnsons. Okay, you just found him, Dan Hooker. Your Edson Barbosas, your Al Iaquintas. You're looking for the resume builders, right? So the crossroads here for the UFC when it comes to Makhachev is, do we go with guys that we know are washed in Dos Anjos and Ferguson, which would have been the Khabib path back in the day, or do we go with Dariush, who's kind of on the rise? You know, I mean, he's not as young, I don't believe, as Makhachev, but he's in his stride right now, right? He's just ranked as high as he's ever been. Here's the conundrum if you're the UFC. If he loses to Dariush, he loses a lot more footing in the public's eyes than if he loses to Ferguson or Dos Anjos, even though Dariush is a better fighter than those two guys right now. It's just public perception.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think I've stated my case. Like, I want that Dariush fight, and I feel like that's one that could happen. It's not like Dariush has a fight coming up, and he's been cornering a lot of Kings MMA fighters lately, so that's kind of neat to see. But yeah, that's the one that I want. I think Gaethje Chandler, maybe those guys, next title shot, win one more for Islam, and then we're off to the races.
And we move on. Craig, the fight is finally upon us. For a time, these were two of, if not the two best fighters, not in the UFC. They were two of them. The fight is here, and I just want to know from you, should there be more to this? Should there be like a BMF title? Should these guys be fighting in a Denny's parking lot? I'm like super pumped about this fight, and I'm not saying it's not getting adequately promoted. I'm saying I just don't feel like there's any stakes. Should the winner be guaranteed a title shot? Like, what am I missing?
I feel like it's being promoted more than any fight on that card. Like, I'm dead serious. yeah, Kamaru Usman's going to do whatever the hell Max Kellerman's show is now without Stephen A. Again, Canadian. I don't watch ESPN, so I don't know. But for me, I look at it, yeah, he's going to do his media. Covington's going to do his media. And then everything else through my rose-colored glasses has been Gaethje and Chandler. You watch those countdown episodes. You watch the embeddeds. They start with those guys. They spend a lot of time on those guys. They do a little bit for that co-main event, and then they end on the main event. And that's it. So for me, I feel like they've pumped the hell out of this. The weird thing for me is, why move it down on the card? Like, I get it. You want people to buy the pay-per-view. Maybe they think that, oh, okay, this fight's trending so high that if we start this on the pay-per-view, that's going to be the attention grab or the catch-all. That's going to get all the people to buy it. And then they're roped in for Shane Burgos, Billy Quarantillo, and Frankie Edgar, Marlon Vera. To me, I'd still put Edgar Vera to start it. But, you know, if we're building the perfect card, give the people what they want, get them excited off the hop, I'm cool with it. But, and I like the way that you frame this, yeah, why is there no stakes, like no set in stone? This is a title eliminator. This is for some made-up belt. This is for the United States belt or whatever WWE used to have.
Intercontinental champion.
Well, Shawn Michaels was always the Intercontinental champion.
Yeah,
seen him lately?
No, he's a mess. I mean, yes, I have seen him, and he's a mess.
He's got no hair on top, and yeah, it's a weird look for Shawn Michaels. Man, I love the Heartbreak Kid. Him and Marty Jannetty, the Rockers, love that. Marty's not doing too well either, really. But no. To me, yeah, I'd love to see more kind of on the line for this fight. But this is one of those ones, like, this is probably the most excited I've been for a fight all year.
Big body shot in the left hand.
I love this.
Left hook lands by Gaethje. Yeah. Wow, flying knee. Oh, my good. Big right. Oh, he's got him on baby deer legs. Michael Chandler. The
cage. I'm with you. And I think that, you know, again, if you're at home and you're drinking, now's the time to drink because we're going to mention Chael, or I am. Chael talks about card placement. He said it's not who you are. It's not what you're ranked. It's where you're placed on the card. And, you know, in that spot, first two fights of the pay-per-view, last week it was Khamzat Chimaev, right? And Makhachev was a little higher on the card. And so I think that the key here is that, you know, Dana really wants to get off to the races with these two guys. And I think that maybe he wants to set the tone and say, okay, once the main card starts, we're probably getting the bonuses out of the way. So if you're one of those last four fights, you've already seen what you need to do to get a bonus tonight, and it's these two guys. So that's kind of where I'm leaning.
And last weekend was weird because, I mean, to me, the prelims were rocking, and then the main card was like, oh, okay, we'll go to decision in this heavyweight fight. Like, it was just kind of all over the place. This main card feels special. So let's move forward. And listen, UFC title rematches aren't the only title rematches this weekend. John, well, not necessarily title rematches, but it's a rematch for a title because, as we know, your favorite promotion that it just wasn't in the budget to fly you out this weekend, Bellator, they're putting on Peter Queeley versus Patricky Pitbull number 2. It's in Ireland. It's a big card. Patchy Mix missed weight in his title eliminator against James Gallagher. But listen, at the top, Patricky is looking to grab the belt that was recently vacated by his brother, Patricio. And listen, he lost his last fight to Peter Queeley. So really the question is the pressure going to be a giant factor for Patricky having lost his last fight, this fight being on foreign soil? It's a hometown fight for Peter Queeley. And on the flip side, if Queeley wins, does it really make a big dent in the lightweight division for Bellator?
You know, I'm biased because, you know, although my status is unofficial Bellator historian, I just saw Primus fight and he looked good. So now I'm thinking he's the best 55er in Bellator. So for me, I think that Queeley winning would be a disaster for Bellator. But, you know, it depends. Here's the thing. I used to think that if you got a foreign underdog to win, it's fantastic. Bisbing, because it expands you globally. You know, Robert Whittaker, it expands you all over the globe. But that's the UFC. I don't know that Bellator, if Peter Queeley wins, could turn him into something more than he is now. You know, I think that they have a lot of guys who are global people. Listen, I follow the sport pretty closely. I mean, we do a podcast, you know, when we have time. We do a podcast every week. And I had to get brushed up on Nemkov. I had to, you know, some of these guys that Bellator has are not on the tip of your tongue. I think that that Pitbull's bringing a lot to the cage. There's a lot of pressure. He's certainly up for the challenge, but yes, I think that there's a lot weighing heavily on Pitbull going into this fight, and if Quigley were to win, it would suck for Bellator.
Now, without the use of the Google machine or Topology, I want to guess when the last time Patricky Pitbull won a fight with Bellator. Just guess. Don't look it up.
All right, I started looking it up. The last time he won a fight, 2018.
2019 with Bellator. He beat Ryan Scope by split decision. Honest to goodness, I thought Scope won, but I'm always on the opposite side of the split decisions, as Matt would say. Then he beat Tatsuya Kawajiri with Ryzen in the cross promotion. He beat Luis Gustavo, and then he lost to Tofik Masayev in the finals. So that was back New Year's Eve, 2019. He fought Peter Quigley back in May of this year, lost due to doctor stoppage, gross cut, whatever. Now we get this fight. Patricky Pitbull, oddly enough, in the Bellator rankings at lightweight, is ranked number one. Below him is Sydney Outlaw. Below him is Brent Primus. Below him is Peter Quigley. These are the most updated rankings as of October 26th. That was the last email that I got on them. That is the most recent update. Bellator said they were going to do a good job of rankings, and that makes zero fucking sense that a guy beat somebody by TKO and he's still ranked lower, and this guy's the number one contender. So they got to get their affairs in order. They have to figure that out on their end. I understand that media members vote for them. Former member of the show, still friend of the show that you're going to see on the show on Saturday. Ooh, a little bit of an Easter egg. JHK, he's a member of the rankings panel for Bellator. So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there, but I think that that one's really silly. If Quigley wins, Bellator European Series is looked at in a couple of different ways. Good opportunity for prospects, but they kind of went away from it, the pandemic, and really kind of stalled some careers, I guess, if you want to say it that way. So it would be a big deal. It really depends on activity for either guy. I don't know how many people are going to be tuning into this card, considering it's on a Friday, which is great. It's over in Ireland, which is going to be tough for the North American audience. And then Saturdays, it's going to be dominated by 268 and the Canelo Plant fight. So I don't really know where Bellator really falls this weekend. I'm interested. I will be paying attention tomorrow night, but I still don't really know.
Craig, we move on. Let's talk sparring sessions. Once upon a time, the boogeyman was the beat, Magomed Sharipov, but it feels like he hasn't seen an octagon since Volkov and Hardy fought, because he hasn't seen an octagon since Volkov and Hardy fought. So as boogeymans tend to do, they've changed, and now we kind of have two. So my question for you in sparring sessions is, who's the real reaper in the UFC right now, Khamzat Chimaev or Islam Makhachev?
So Islam Makhachev has dominant wrestling, dominant grappling. Khamzat Chimaev has dominant wrestling, dominant grappling, and knockout power that we've seen end a fight in the first minute of the first round of a fight against a UFC veteran that can pull some tricks in Gerald Meerschaert. To me, it's Khamzat Chimaev, and the reason why is because you actually hear him talk on the mic, and he kind of markets himself a little bit. Islam Makhachev has done that a little bit recently, but we haven't really seen it over his career. And for Khamzat too, he can always say, there's that zero on my record. Islam, remember that time you got knocked out by Adriano Martins that one time? That happened. So for me, it's Chimaev. I think, you know, like I've said before, you strap a rocket ship to this guy's back, you let him take you to the moon. And I really do think he has that star power. I'm bought in on the hype for both of these guys, and I'll parlay it forward into the featured segment. There's a guy coming up this weekend that I feel the exact same way about, and he's got an O in his loss column as well, but I think that Khamzat's the guy here.
I'm going to say this, and I don't say this lightly. I agree with you that the boogeyman is Khamzat Chimaev. I think that in the statement I'm going to make is in a second, but that I don't say lightly, but I think that I agree with you, because if you were to ask me, or if Dana White was to ask me, hey, guess who more people turn down fights with, Chimaev or Makhachev? I would say Chimaev. I would say less people are interested in going in there, because Makhachev will work you over. But Khamzat can embarrass you. And, you know, I don't think that a second round Kimura or whatever he finished Hooker, I don't know if that fight was embarrassing. Chimaev will go in there and dominate you. And this is the statement I don't make lightly. And I think that people need to start getting on board with this. Khamzat Chimaev can be a bigger star than Khabib Nurmagomedov was because he has two weight classes he is completely comfortable with fighting in. He talks, I won't say better, but he talks. Khabib is a relatively humble guy. You have to pull out of him shit talking, whereas Khamzat is looking to do it. And I think that Khamzat has a lot more dance partners potentially than he kind of has. He has a little bit of what Conor has had going on, which is he's a little big for the weight class that he's calling home. You know, when Conor was a featherweight, he was completely drawn in at the weigh-ins, bigger than everybody, taller than everybody, had way more power than everybody. So he was dominant in the one weight class. Then he goes up to his natural weight class and kind of finds the right path to victory, a guy in Eddie Alvarez who's hittable. I think that could happen as well for Chimaev here. He could just be bigger than Usman, and then he could be a better technical fighter ground-wise than Adesanya. So I think that there's a chance he could be a double champ in like a year, year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Khamzat Chimaev, the boogeyman, we'll flip that forward and we'll look ahead from that pay-per-view that we had last weekend, 267, to this weekend, UFC 268, we talked about it. There's Gaethje, Chandler, you know them, you love them, former champions, former organizations. You got Rose Namajunas taking on Zhang Weili, rematch for the belt, and in the main event, Kamaru Usman taking on Colby Covington. You can cherry pick out of those, but this week's featured segment is the UFC 268 quick hitter. John, you don't know the questions that I'm going to ask you. They're going to be, I'm putting them on a tee. I'm going to set you up really easily and we'll just move quickly because in this week's episode of Question Mark Kicks, we're going to have some guests. I'm going to drop that nugget right here. If you pay attention early stoppage, you're going to know that this stuff's coming up because yeah, Question Mark Kicks, there's going to be plenty of guests, some of whom I've gotten back from, some of whom I haven't, but I told them, listen, you have plenty of time. Just don't worry about it. But they're already booked in. So, John, UFC 268, it's coming up this weekend. There's so many fights to look forward to. What's one under-the-radar storyline or fight or prospect that nobody's paying enough attention to coming up this weekend? What's something that's got your eye? And even if you want to pick main co-main or Gaethje Chandler, I'm 100% fine with that.
You know, there's a lot of these guys on this card. I don't say a lot, but like, you know, Phil Hawes, once upon a time, was supposed to be a big thing. Edmund Shabazian. There's these guys that like we were making a big deal about, you know, maybe pre-pandemic or a little bit pre-pandemic, pre-pandemic. Paneas on this card. This card's got a lot of things going. I hate to say, listen, I'm going to watch this fight with my son. We're going to go somewhere fun, like Dave and Buster's or something. We're going to go check it out. So I may have one eye on him and one eye on the fights, but I can tell you right now, when Shane Burgos and Billy Q get in there, and this is a night of great fights, when Shane Burgos and Billy Q get in there, he's sitting next to me, and both eyes are on that fight. There's going to be no skee ball. There's going to be no hoops being shot. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're – I'm really interested in that fight. In a night of when I'm interested in a lot of fights. I mean, listen – I had written Bobby Green off, but his style against Aya Quinta, I mean, that's interesting. There's just a lot of interesting fights. You know, there's times when I'll watch a card and just kind of enjoy it. And there's times when I'm watching a card and I'm tweeting a lot and I'm like really into it. This feels like one of those cards where I'm tweeting a lot and I'm doing a lot of analysis. Even though I'm going to have my kid with me, it just feels like one of those tweet heavy cards for me. And that is really when I'm into it. I could see a lot of fights I'm tweeting about.
The one thing I have to say, and there was a little bit of CYA involved in this week's episode of the previews and predictions. I think Ian Garry's a superstar. I bought into the hype already. He's dating Layla Anna Lee, which I'm going to say it now. He's 23. She's 38. Whatever. But it's he's got the look of a superstar. He can market himself really well. He goes out there and he puts on wild performances. He's got the gas tank. He's got a black belt in judo. His boxing's really crisp. Like, he has every single tool to become a star. And every comparison in the world is, oh, he's the next Conor McGregor because he's from Ireland. Listen, Rory McDonald was the next GSP because he was from Canada. And look at how that one turned out. So I really do think for a kid that's only 7-0, and I'm going to say kid because he is actually younger than me, even though I sound like Dana White right now, I think he's going to be a superstar. I really do like the card. And yeah, I mean, I'm throwing Burgos Quarantillo. That makes the show. Congrats.
All right, Craig, let's move on to the socials. Let's do something we never do in For the Gram. Let's talk about the PFL. Kayla Harrison is talking pending free agency. Jake Paul's clowning Clarissa Shields for losing. And Wiz Khalifa is talking about maybe hopping into a cage. What do you think, if you're an executive at the PFL, what concerns you more? Kayla Harrison talking free agency or Clarissa Shields losing?
So I remember, and I remember all of these emails because it's like twice a week. PFL has signed with carparts.com, official sponsor of the PFL. Like, they send these emails out every single week. So I do get a little annoyed when I get them. But the one I really remember, and it's because, hey, I mean, look behind me. I've got a Vlad Guerrero Jr. signed rookie card. I've got all that stuff. I really like that stuff. You know, it's a fun hobby, whatever. And then you can sell it. You can make money and all that jazz. PFL said that they had signed on with Upper Deck. And their first card that came out was Clarissa Shields. They put that much stock into her. So I think it's a big deal that she lost. Now, the weird thing was there was, what, 6 title fights? And 2 of them were on the prelims. And then 4 were on the main card. And then Clarissa Shields was in, like, a featured bout. So to me, I don't know how much noise that generated. I also feel like that card was hugely under, I don't know, underpromoted. It wasn't focused on enough. I mean, the majority of the MMA world last week was more concerned about Glover Teixeira and Jan Blachowicz, right? So I really, PFL, man, I don't know how they move forward. Honest to goodness, I love the product. I've gotten more people into it. I actually tweeted about this. I watched that card with my dad in a hotel room in Halifax. He happened to be down there, so we watched it. And he liked it. He really did. Like, I can't remember the last time I watched MMA with my dad, but he actually really did enjoy it. Didn't really know the fighters, but he liked it. So for me, for him, from a fan perspective, I think they put out a great product. I don't know whose eyeballs they're attracting because I didn't see a lot of people tweeting about it or talking about it. And the last thing that I have for you, John, I want to make sure that I get this right. For Wiz Khalifa. Yeah, 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 yeah. PFL. A million ways, I only need one. A million moments, I only need one. No fear on my body. No, I don't feel none. My swagger is different. No stop till I'm done. Does that not sound like a Christmas rhyme?
It does. It sounds like...
Did you watch that?
No, I didn't.
It felt like Triller. Oh, here from behind the curtain is Wiz Khalifa. We're going to sing a song now. Like, that's when I tune out of Triller and I just get upset at myself.
You know, the promotion of boxing and MMA business is interesting because sometimes it's like you don't know what trains to get on and what trains not to get on. And I think that sometimes, and this is to Dana White's credit, you know, he guessed right on the Randy Couture James Toney thing, and he guessed wrong on the CM Punk thing. CM Punk was a lot of money and a big waste of time. Toney was a lot of money and a one-off. Like, Randy went in there, did what Randy was supposed to do, finished it quickly.
Wasn't that big of a deal back then?
It was, and I think that everybody was chiming in. It really set the table for Connor and Floyd, but that's a story for another day. So my one take on PFL real quick, PFL chairman Don Davis. Now, let's talk about Don Davis in one respect. This is like, I'm better than this, okay, but this is a pet peeve of mine, so let's get into it. He spells his name D-O-N-N. I got a big problem. Like we've all decided... We've all decided how you spell Don. If you're going to go with 2 N's, call yourself Donnie. If you're going to name yourself, if you're going to be called John, it's J-O-H-N, not J-O-N. If you want to
go
J-O-N,
wrong.
It's Jonathan.
Wrong.
All right? There's protocols. This thing's bigger than you, Craig. So my point is that Don Davis said, we love Kayla Harrison, And unlike UFC, we know the fighters are the stars, not the promoter. Done. Easy. Don't start throwing hand grenades now. Listen, Craig, we know the answer to the PFL's future. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. A feeder league for the UFC, or at the very least, when you win, you get a contract with the UFC. It's enough already. And we move on. Let's talk one Twitter hitter. Craig, I want to talk 135 because it really should have made the rundown, but I wanted to get that Bellator chat in there. The UFC got their wish. Piotr Jan finished off Corey Sandhagen. David Sandhagen gets crowned. Jan, that is, gets crowned interim bantamweight champion. And the elephant in the room is Aljamain Sterling. He holds the real belt. But, I mean, can one man find more ways and reasons not to fight another man? I mean, this kid is backed out of every scenario that puts him back in a cage with Piotr Jan. I don't know if he fears him, if he's trolling him. I have no idea why Sterling can't figure out a way to get his ass back in there with Jan. So my question to you is, what does the future hold in this division? Do you think those two will hook it up again, or do you think somebody will get stripped?
So I thought, like, in the back of my head, you're asking me this question about Aljamain Sterling. So I thought, okay, well, the UFC put out a couple of videos of Aljamain Sterling in the last 2 days. Oh my God. So inside baseball, I have vidIQ as an extension on Chrome, so I can look at YouTube and I get certain metrics that you can't just see with the naked eye. Like, they'll pop it up. So I'll give you a couple examples. Best of Justin Gaethje, 71,000 views, 99% like ratio. Top finishes from UFC 268 fighters is a picture of Usman knocking out Masvidal, 99%. In Aljamain Sterling's corner, episode 2, The Mentor, 16,000 views, 11% likes to dislikes. Ally Quinton, Aljamain Sterling, visit Georgia with, I'm assuming, Mirab Dvalishvili, 34,000 views, 42% like ratio. I don't know what the hell this guy's got to do, but he's dug himself the deepest hole possible in a win, no less. So, yeah, I mean, to answer it, he holds the belt. What's the future? They're going to strip Aljamain Sterling, I think. Yeah, great that they're making these videos. The fans are outraged. So I think you got to either rematch it, like, very soon, like in the next 3 months. If not, unfortunately, strip them. Obviously, illegal knee, you're not supposed to do it. But sometimes referees let fights go on too long, like they did between Bruno St. Denis and, you know, Zaleski Dos Santos. So we can't
always. You know what's interesting, though? I think that it's hard to get chemistry in any way. You know, chemistry with, like, you know, you and I could do this show with 50 other guys and it would not be, you know, not be as good as this because there's chemistry. I think that these two guys, I used to have this term when I was younger, and I used to call it soul hates. And soul hates is, it's like the opposite of a soulmate. It's someone that you just were born to dislike. Like, you meet somebody and you're just like, I knew.
What's that? So I don't know. Have you ever watched I Think You Should Leave?
No.
So there's a skit on there. If anybody, nobody's even realized this in the comment section. I've been dropping little breadcrumbs from this show for like weeks and nobody realizes it, but I'm going to drop another one. There's a skit on there where there's a guy and he goes to hold this woman's baby and it starts to cry. And the guy goes, oh, it knows I was a real piece of shit. And then the whole skit goes on where he's like, yeah, I used to be a piece of shit, but people can change. And then they throw it back to his old life and he's doing sloppy steaks at a restaurant, which is for some reason a steak, but they dump glasses of water on it. They get kicked out. Then they're on the beach at night and there's like a fire and he gets a gleam in his eye and the kid looks at him and he knows that he's not a piece of shit anymore. Relaying that back in. So did you used to be on a beach in Virginia at night, like with a fire and you're playing guitar going, man, soul hates. I got it. I figured it out.
Listen, soul hates isn't bad. That's going to catch on. I'm gonna try and make soul hates.
Your kids are going to watch this someday and they're going to go, Craig was right.
They're going to be ashamed. Yeah. No, but my point is that these guys have whatever it is. You know, Conor and Khabib had it. Jones and Cormier have it. Not everybody has it. Bisping and St. Pierre didn't have it, you know, but Bisping and Rockhold
Vegas
did.
Vegas has gotten the better of you, Michael.
Yeah, Nick and George had it. Like, you just have it or you don't. And I think that if they fumble the ball on these two guys, right? Because like it or not, Sterling won the first one, right? Like it or not. But we all kind of know Jan's the better fighter. So if Jan wins the second one, now you got the third one. And it's all there for you if you don't fumble the ball. You got to get this kid back in the cage. He does not want to lose to Jan cleanly. He doesn't. But you got to make it worse as well. All right, Craig, let's move on to posting to the book. Your choice. Connor is back hitting pads. The MMA world is stoked. They can't believe it. He's so amazing. Would you rather talk about that or this Triller Triad combat business with the triangle cage? Frank Mir's involved. Mike Perry's involved. While we're talking about Mike Perry, he's going to BKFC. Like, where do you stand on your level of excitement for either Connor hitting pads again or Triller Triad combat?
Published 2 weeks ago. And the reason why the whole triad thing came out and I took notice was, I don't know how I managed to do it, but somehow I connected with the guy that runs BYB, which is like a bare knuckle organization. And I got excited about it because the commentary team, it was like Paulie Malignaggi and Mike Goldberg was on it. You remember that? I think I sent you a message. I was like, can you believe Mike Goldberg's doing this? And so then I was like, well, now I like this, so I'm going to watch it. And it was kind of weird because they fought in this weird triangle. And then 2 weeks ago, here's an article from nyfights.com written by Michael Woods. BYB Extreme Bare Knuckle Fighting Company takes issue with Triller Triad. Yeah, why wouldn't you? It's the same thing. Like, it doesn't make sense. It looks like it's just like the Cleveland Guardians roller derby team, getting mad that the baseball team decided, hey, we're going to call it the same thing. I don't know. I don't really like the whole triad thing anyway. I think it's just kind of a gimmick, but I did actually enjoy watching that BYB card, hence why I reached out to them. But yeah. And then that really conflicts with anything I've ever said in my life, because I don't actually really like bare knuckle boxing to begin with. But yeah, the triad thing, if it's already been done one time by another company and it's fairly public, maybe consult with them a little bit more. But what do I know? I don't know the backdoor dealings or closed doors dealings. Yeah,
I think I know the answer to this, but if you had to choose between a celebrity fight, you cannot pick the celebrities. I just say there's two bags. One's labeled A and B. You have to choose one or the other. Celebrity fight, bare knuckle fight. Which would you choose?
What about a celebrity bare knuckle fight?
then I mean, that's utopia, Craig. We can't have that.
I'll take a celebrity fight.
I like that. An unknown celebrity fight. Okay, cool. All right, start the conversations on you because I'm not prepared to do this. So you tell me what you got.
Yeah, I really wanted to get everybody's take out there. And we kind of start the conversation on the conversations that happen on Reddit. And one of the biggest things that came out last week was the fact that, again, you talk about it, behind the curtain, all of a sudden Wiz Khalifa comes out and he's singing a PFL song. Behind the curtain, all of a sudden, Jiří Prochazka is coming out and he's weighing in as an alternate for Jan Blachowicz and Glover Teixeira. Good on, I guess, Mr. Prochazka for weighing in exactly on the nose at 205. It also looks like this weekend for UFC 268, Vicente Luque is going to weigh in behind Usman and Covington as an alternate. So my question to you, John, is the two alternates here, and not these guys withstanding either. You know, you go into the future, if you have a fighter that weighs in as an alternate for one of these fights, are they more or less guaranteed a title shot? Because we've seen it in the past, fighters weighing in as alternates, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I mean, what, Michael Chandler weighed in as an alternate, and then he fought Dan Hooker. So it kind of all depends, but do you see a path to the title for Jiří Prochazka and for Vicente Luque in these situations?
You know, I think that it's easier to get people, you know, it's an insurance policy. And I think that, so it works for the promotion, but I think that negotiation-wise, if you're a fighter, you got to say, listen, either, and I think these guys are probably compensated for their time and making weight. They probably don't get what they would get in a fight. They might get some show money. Obviously, they're not getting win money because they're not fighting. But and I'm sure they're not getting whatever their rate is, whatever Michael Chandler gets to step into a cage, his ass ain't getting for weighing in. So I understand that. It's certainly worth their time. But I think that maybe there's some room there to negotiate further and say, listen, if you're willing for me to fight should your fighter drop out, you should be willing for me to fight should he not drop out. And me making weight and showing up and doing this favor for the it's a clear you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours situation. But I think that if you're willing for the guy to fight as an alternate, you should be willing for him to fight the next time up. So, yeah, I think that's what it should lead to. But again, a lot comes with these things, and it's hard to promote a Vicente Luque main event title fight. I mean, I think the guy's a stud, but he's certainly not a guy that you put on a poster necessarily.
They already did it with Gilbert Burns, though.
Yeah, but there was a backstory there. It was the same gym and all that. So I think it's
yeah, but Vicente Luque's trained with Gilbert Burns at that gym.
Well, now we're doing 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but he hasn't trained with the champion. So yeah, had Burns won the belt, then Luque makes sense. I'm saying not having him not win the belt.
To me, I look at
it. Do you think it should be guaranteed?
Maybe not necessarily guaranteed. And again, they've gone either way in the past before. I mean, what was it? Usman weighed in as an alternate for Till Woodley, I think it was. And then he ends up in a favorable position. So to me, I look at the top of that division. Covington, Usman fighting this weekend. Gilbert Burns the odd man out because he beat Steve Wonderboy Thompson. Leon Edwards fighting Jorge Masvidal. Vicente Luque is not going to fight his friend. So I'd say he's probably your next title challenger. I mean, coming off of four straight wins by finish, Nico Price, Randy Brown, Tyron Woodley, and Michael Chiesa. He's done everything they asked of him. And if he weighs in successfully, there's your title shot. And for Jiří, same thing. I mean, does his win over Vicente Luque hold a ton of water? I don't know. But to me, like, it was a giant highlight reel knockout win. And that guy's a superstar. That guy's a Craig Allen superstar. So to me, I think he deserves it, but I've been pumping this guy's tires since well before he was in the UFC.
You know, I think Jorge Masvidal threw kind of a wrench in the works because for the longest time, as I've been following MMA, there was this thing that was sort of like, if you didn't come in as a star or you didn't establish yourself as a star, then you were never going to be a star, right? And you could just be like a forgotten person and you were hard to promote, right? So the example would be, even before he fought for the belt, you knew Dan Hardy was a star. He had a look. He fought a certain type of way. You knew Carlos Condit was a star, right? You knew Josh Koscheck was a star. Like, these guys had a look. They had a way about them. I mean, he's a heel, but he's a star. I think that so for the longest time, you would see a guy like Damian Maia, and you would say, Damian Maia is never going to be what it would take to be the B-side of a title fight in this era. Back in the day, you could put Tito in there with Patrick Cote. Nobody cared. It was just you had to have one guy. Now with you need a little bit of a B-side. I think that Damian Maia would never get there. Some of these other fighters would just never get there. That's kind of the box I put Luque in.
Teixeira just won a title.
He did, and he is not a guy that. And I'm here to tell you, when Jan Blachowicz won the belt, or when Glover Teixeira beat him for it, they weren't popping corks at the UFC offices. They weren't like, thank God we now have a marketable champion. They were like, can somebody check on John Jones? Can we get this guy in? You know, so for me, I think that it gets tricky. You know, Prochazka, I think, could be a star. I don't know so much about Luque. So I don't know. And all this, I'm giving a very long-winded way to say that even if you come through for the promotion, there's still a marketing component and an ability to promote you no matter what favors you do.
Well, listen, John, we'll parlay that forward. Let's finish strong. There were some big news announcements this week. One of your favorite fighters, she's going to take her 50th pro MMA fight and retire on a note. Roxanne Modafferi's taking on King Casey O'Neill, who has been in the chat before in the Fight Nate Picks comment section, getting mad. Just getting mad. And her dad, too, Cam. And so, hi, if you guys are listening. I think it's an interesting fight. I think it is a stylistic nightmare for Roxanne Modafferi.
I defer to you on any fight that's not, you know, has
Roxanne. Yeah, I had a bad read on Casey O'Neill. And she has come through big in her UFC career. Marco Madsen is going to be fighting Vince Paichel. How excited are you for that one?
I can't contain myself.
Tom Aspinall is fighting Shamil Abdurakhimov.
What about that one? I'm excited for.
Yeah, well, you just saw Shamil get dusted by Chris Daukaus. Let's give him Tom Aspinall. Like, that fight doesn't make sense. Jordan Wright, the Beverly Hills Ninja 2.0, is taking on Blindado Bruno Silva, who just knocked out in a Hail Mary third round Andrew Sanchez. Knocked him out of the promotion, too. You excited about that one?
Jordan Wright has a top 10 punchable face of all time. So I think that whenever he's in there, I'm excited to see him get cracked.
And then I talked about it. This is the last one on Marcel Dorf's Instagram. But this is like, you want Craig Allen fights? Demir Ismagulov, Magomed Mustafayev was the one last week. And then Demir decided not to make weight. I ate kettle peanuts before the show. They're coming back. Muslim Salikov's fighting Michelle Pereira, and I can't contain my excitement.
I can't contain my excitement either.
The peanuts are coming up.
All right, so before we leave, I want to talk about something for two reasons. One, it's important to bring awareness to it. And two, it may give an indication of my mood for the early stoppages for the rest of the month. I have taken on a challenge to run 100 miles in the month of November for awareness of veteran suicide. So this week, so the way it breaks down math-wise, just so you guys know, it's pretty much 3 a day during the week and 10 on the weekends. I run 3 miles Monday through Friday, 10 mile or 5 miles on Saturday, 5 miles on Sunday. So far, so good. I've gotten all the times I needed to hit so far, or the miles I've needed to hit so far. But it's a little bit daunting, and I'll just let you guys know if you ever take something like this on. I had a plan for getting ready for it. So basically, I switched workouts. I wanted to try an old man workout, like something that I could do when I get older just to see if it would work. And the workout was called a 12-3-30. So basically what a 12-3-30 is, 12 incline, 3 speed, 30 minutes. And I was getting a good sweat, and I was keeping my weight down. But the first day I was back running for this thing, which was November 1st, it was destruction. It was death. But I survived it. I'm feeling better. Everything's becoming much easier. So if you know a veteran, check in on him. See how he's doing. There are veterans that kind of – the weird thing about being a veteran, this is not necessarily something that I deal with. But the weird thing about being a veteran is there's a certain type of bullshit macho-ness that's associated with it. So sometimes guys who are struggling will not speak about their struggles. So if you know somebody, check in on them. That's what the whole thing's for. It's not for me to look cool running 100 miles. It's to bring awareness to veteran suicide. So check into it. Check into your veteran friends if you have them. All right, Craig, that's it for me. How we doing with the peanuts?
John Franklin, heart and soul, like Huey Lewis in the news. So it's much appreciated. And if you're in Canada on November 11th, make sure you wear your poppy. Go check out a cenotaph if your province allows you to do that. If you're in the States, take a moment on Veterans Day. And what you're doing is commendable. So if anybody wants to reach out, where can they find you?
They can find me at SM Cornerman. I have not set up any type of, I post stuff on Facebook. And then whenever I post something, it says, you want to add a donation? You want to do this? Listen, if you guys want to donate to that, just donate to it. Don't do it through me. Just do it, donate whatever you
can. Fair enough.
But lastly, a recommendation based on what you just said. The Blacklist, my favorite show on NBC. Huey Lewis made a cameo. It's an amazing show. If you've never checked it out, check it out. And with that, this episode of Early Stoppage is in the books. Craig can be followed at Craig Allen FMP. I can be followed at SM Cornerman. The fight has been stopped. We'll see you next week. Craig, say something interesting.
Check out Huey Lewis on Hot in Cleveland. Great show.
Oh, speaking of that, what I think should be a global holiday, at least a United States national holiday, in 3 months, Betty White turns 100. Who has a greater approval rating than Betty White? Let's all take the day off and tip our caps to Betty White. We'll see you next week. Peace.